Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltre, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Books in the Biz. We are back for another exciting episode. It's a new week, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm enjoying the new week.
Well, that's good. New week is almost over, so we're hitting the weekend. Hopefully the weekend will be just as enjoyable for you. So today, we are going to, I would say this is kind of an extension of maybe a little bit of last week, where we're going to talk about experience and how what you pay for might be what you actually get, which sometimes if you go on the cheap, it might actually even cost you more money. And I think you got some scenarios that you would like to share with our audience to let them know what we mean by all that. So I'm going to let you take it away today.
Well, I think the conversation about this one came up because I have a recent example where somebody dove into the tax realm where they had no tax experience, and they dove into what I would call the tax realm, what I also feel was a little bit of legal realm. And to be honest with you, he probably shouldn't have been in either one of them. So essentially what we have is a company that was running, they were building up and buying some other companies, so they have some investments. And then as they got bigger, they were saying, well, now we have to start building some infrastructure. So we need to hire some of these guys that are doing the work for us to be full-time employees. So they had to run payroll. So in order to run payroll, you have the issue of where are the employees? What state are they in? Okay. Federal government, pretty straightforward. It's one overarching and over coverage of everything. But when you get into the states, the world gets a little more complicated. Where are your employees? And not only that, when you file to pay them their payroll in the states that they're in or the states that they're operating in, that creates a physical income tax presence. So you have to file income tax in the states where you have employees. So in this case, it was a generally remote company that was operating everywhere. And now they're hiring people and they're in New Jersey and New York. Okay, but it's a Delaware company. So they've never registered in New Jersey or New York because they weren't doing anything in New Jersey or New York. Now you have employees there, so you're going to register. So when they go to register, New Jersey rejects the name. So they essentially said, we already have a company operating with a similar name, so you can't have that name. So if you do ChatGPT or Claude or whatever you use, ask it, what should I do? And it's probably going to tell you set up a DBA, which was a doing business as, okay? It's a separate name that allows you to operate in that state under that name.
Right.
So now I know I'm doing all this lead up, but the lead up comes down to right now, okay? When he got that pushback from New Jersey, he did what he always would do, or what seemed to make sense. He basically went through a New Jersey registration. But what that does is sets up a whole new company. So he set up a new company in New Jersey. Not that big of a deal, I don't think. You know, there's plenty of other ways we can go around that. But when he did that, he basically told New Jersey that he already had an ID number because he gave them the ID number of the company that they were already working with. So the existing company had an ID number. So when he set up the new company, he gave it the same ID number. So now New Jersey has a new entity, does not recognize the old entity, and they're both using the same employer ID number. Okay. So to sort of finalize the story, okay, because I don't want to talk about it for years. We already have now trying to figure out, well, what do we do? Well, you got a mouse in your pocket? Because I don't want to do any of this. you know, but what wound up being created is a whole new entity that we have to figure out, how do we get out of that? I've got a payroll running under the name of the new entity, but it's being paid by the old entity. And New York is on the old entity. So I've got this Jersey mess of how do I unwind this mess? And then he says, oh, and by the way, the employee is moving to New York. So at the end of the day, you're basically left with a bigger mess than if when you got pushed back on for the name, ask. Mm-hmm. Like, bring it up as it's an issue. Don't bring it up like it's an issue, but I have a solution. And then you go down this road of the solution that 9 months later is going to be proving to be a bigger cleanup mess than it would have been had we just found a way around it. Okay. Just to give an example, okay, had I been on the conversation where somebody said, hey, you know, I have a problem, I need another entity, I have no way to do this. First off, we would have done what we did on the call a week ago, which is look up on ChatGPT, which the sources it went to were IRS, New Jersey, New York. It went to the revenue places to ask what's the right solution if you have a name problem. And it said set up a DBA, which doesn't create a new entity, doesn't create a new filing requirement. It gives you the use of a name within that state, okay, that doesn't change your ID number. So we probably would have been in the right place had you just got the DBA, but you didn't look it up. You just went down the road of what you thought was right, and you wound up with a new entity. So again, the overall theme for what we're talking about today is the fact that you didn't know what you're doing, and you created a bigger mess, and the cleanup will be bigger than whatever it was that you did to set up the entity in the first place. And what the
did he get advice from anyone else, or was this just simply, well, this is what I believe I need to do, so this is what I'm going to do?
The client company, right, was represented on this phone call. I was on the phone call, and the person who did this was on the phone call, and I felt a little bad for him. So I was trying to give him a way out, like,
sure,
you know, tell me the payroll company was advising you, because originally they told me that the payroll company was going to do the registration. Mm-hmm. And
okay. You know,
so I was trying to give him something to chew on and spit out. Like, you're in front of the client, you're in front of the company. You know, I'm trying to give you something because I don't want to see you lose the job, you know, because the people at the company were sitting there saying, you know, exactly what you just said. Who told you to do that? Like, where in this did this become a mandate to go set up a new entity? Because no one understood that a new entity was being formed. I'm not even sure he understood that a new entity was being formed. Okay. But that's what happened. So I was trying to give him, like, you know, who told you and who, you know, who advised you to go down that road? And he didn't take the advice. He just, you know, was sitting there sort of making it look like he was confused, which was not a good answer because you're the guy that's basically, number one, they relied on you to do it. Number two, you did it and it's wrong. So all three of those are pointing to you. And that just makes it a really bad conversation, you know, it just becomes, I can't, like, I don't even have rope to grab, you know, that you can grab and I can pull you out. Like, there's just, you know, because with it, the further that I would go, it would almost turn into, I did something wrong, but I was the one who brought it up and said, what are you doing sending me a new entity formation? And everybody's like, no, we didn't set up a new formation. I'm like, you sent me the paper. It's like, it's right here, you know? And that became sort of the horror of the whole thing. Like, you almost didn't even realize that you set up a new entity and you're moving along like there's no issue here. You know, LLCs are really, they're very cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool from their flexibility. Okay. When I started doing work 35 years ago, there was C Corp, S Corp. That's it. You know,
right.
And right around there, they were starting to approve the state LLC statutes. Like, it was brand new when I started. So LLCs were sort of meant to be the hybrid, like between the partnership, which I didn't even mention, right? The partnership, yep. And the corp, right? LLC kind of mixed the two and said, how do we make this really flexible? And the interesting thing lately over the last 10 years is the disregarded entity, you know, where if you're an LLC with only one owner, you basically, you don't exist for tax purposes. Legal, yes. Every other purpose, yes. Tax purposes, we don't want to hear from you. One owner in an LLC, your default is that you don't exist. You're a division of whoever owns you. Okay. So that's why individuals who set up an LLC for their ownership, you know, for their businesses, right, still file like a sole proprietorship, right? Those entities file on the personal tax return because the government basically says too much admin for only one partner, no need to do a separate filing, you know, we'll do it as if you are a sole proprietor. Okay. That came out. I sat there. So if I was in on this conversation and basically said, what do we do about this? My first reaction was, make it a single member LLC of the owner.
Mm.
Essentially, New Jersey doesn't have to know anything. It's a division of the original company. We try to file the original company. And essentially, that's what we're doing. That's our solution. We're basically trying to get New Jersey to recognize that this was not a multi-member LLC. It was a single member LLC, and it's part of the owner. So it's just like having the DBA that you asked for. So... and then if that employee moved to New York, we're just going to get rid of New Jersey altogether and just say, just close it out, clean it up, you know, black market, you know, so that like it never happened, you know, like SurfPro, it never happened.
There you go. Well, I can definitely relate to this from the operation side of things. And I was, as you brought up this subject the other day when we were kind of talking about what we were going to talk about this week, I went all the way back to my retail days. And for one of the retail enterprises that I worked for, it was notorious we would do things on the cheap and then redo it, and end up spending four times more money than if we had done it right in the first place. Because it was usually the fourth or fifth iteration when they finally figured out that what they were trying to implement wasn't going to work. And they said, well, now instead of just doing it the way we've always done it, let's actually implement the proper way. And then that took care of the problem. Funny part is, you know, it's a retail, it's home improvement. So a lot of things I'm talking about are more construction related.
Yep.
Contractors, don't hold me to the work that was done there. but there were a lot of things that in the phrases that we often use were jerry-rigged together to make it look nice or to, you know, put together a display, but then you sometimes realize that, well, what we did isn't going to hold up, or it started falling apart right away, and then you'd have to implement something further. So that's just something from an operation standpoint I see outstanding. Now, in the 20 some years that I've been doing this, one of the issues that I often run into, especially in the prospecting phase, is where companies will not look at actually changing anything. And what I mean by that is you're talking to them about, okay, we want to grow by X percent, or we want to double our business in X number of years. And, you know, they're talking about seven figures in a lot of cases, millions of dollars. And you start asking, well, how are you going to do this? What's your plan? And they either don't have a plan, or the plan is just a rough in estimate. And they're talking to you about wanting to work with you to help them kind of formulate this or crystallize, put it together. And what ends up happening, of course, is then you start going through, well, this is all the work that's going to involve in it. This is how long it's going to take us. And, you know, finally, here's the investment dollars you're going to have to put into it. And I have more than twice, in fact, several times received pushback saying, okay, we know what we need to do, so we're going to do it ourselves. And my response usually is, well, if you knew what you were going to do and you're going to do it yourselves, why haven't you already done it?
Yeah.
And the simple answer is they're too busy doing all the other stuff, and they really don't know what they need to do to implement to get the results that they want. But, you know, the lie they keep telling themselves is, well, I'm just going to take care of it because now I know how to fix it and it's going to get done. If they don't move forward with me, then you come back a year or two later, say, how are you progressing on it? And usually what you find out is they haven't done anything. So part of this is also opportunity cost. It's not just the fact that you're being cheap because you won't make the investment. If you're cheap, you won't make the investment. Now you're not doing the work. And now that million or several million dollars you were hoping to capitalize on isn't materializing. And a year later, somebody's coming back in that you were talking to, reminding you, hey, you were going to do this. How's the progress coming along? And it's not there. So to me, what I often see is that's the experience, is where companies are so focused on growth, excuse me, but they won't make the investment to get there. And trust me, I understand there's budgets involved. Sometimes you just don't have the resources. And trust me, if you are looking at bringing an outside expert in, whether it's you, Rich, or whether it's me, or whether it's somebody else, yep, there's always going to be an investment there. And typically that investment is going to be far more than you believe it is. Just being realistic here, because everyone thinks, well, I can hire somebody for 10 bucks an hour who's going to do this work. Guess what? I don't think either you or I bill at $10 an hour. And usually we bill at a rate that's more related to our experience that we built up over the years. But these companies look at it and they say, well, you know, it should only cost me X amount, and I'm going to measure you by the hour. We measure by experience, not the hour. So that's also another difference that we got to educate our prospects or our clients on, because they're doing the math in their head. And then when you finally show them that proposal, the two things don't line up. Now, some companies are smart enough to realize that, A, they can't do this themselves. B, it will never get done if they try to do it themselves. And see, you know, this is a good investment overall because you've hopefully educated them on your experience. They see that and they're willing to take the plunge and work with you. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is where, you know, as we were talking about this, where experience comes in, because experience is what scares away a lot of people, because you got to pay for that experience. You can't just assume that somebody who's coming at you with decades worth of experience and knowledge and maybe has created their own systems, created their own process, you know, come from large corporations like both you and I have, and they're bringing in that information, that you're going to get that for free, or you're going to get that for a couple bucks. I mean, if you want to do that, I tell people, buy the book. That's why I wrote it. Go get it. Okay. But yeah, that's really from an operations standpoint where I see most companies falter, is they don't believe they need to hire somebody to do it. They will then try to do it themselves. They will either fail miserably, or they won't even take action at all because they're too busy doing other stuff. And then there's that lost opportunity that comes with it. Now, sometimes back to the experience side of things, you hire somebody with maybe a couple years out of college, or maybe you hire somebody fresh out of college, and then you're disappointed in the results you get because there is somebody who hasn't built the knowledge that's required over a period of time. I mean, you know, we're not in the Matrix. You can't just plug a rod in the back of our head and plug in all this information. All of a sudden I can fly a helicopter, or I know judo, for anyone who's watched the movie. it takes time to learn this stuff. You and I have made mistakes. What we're hoping is that through our mistakes, we're going to help other people prevent theirs. And yeah, that's the investment you're making. And I think that's the key point, what we're trying to get across in this podcast, is you need to learn to make those investments when you can. You need to sometimes take that risk and spend that money. And if you're not going to do that, then you need to make the commitment to yourself that what you believe you know you need to change, you actually do. Because more of the same is not going to get you any different result. That's kind of the law of insanity.
100%. And you realize that, right? You and I worked for bigger companies at the times that we gained that experience where we learned on the job.
Right.
So now you hire a kid right out of school, he's learning on the job. So he's learning on you.
Right.
And if you're not in the position to train him or to mentor him or, and I say him, but I mean him or her, if you're not the one who's supervising and making sure they're doing it right, you get what you pay for. You get what result is. So, I think there's an awful lot of that. I get the price, but there's still a cost,
right? There's always a cost.
Always a cost. So the cost becomes, if it's wrong, you have to eat it. That's their job experience. That's now your cost. So that's another, it's a sore point for me, because I feel like a lot of people are not getting the training.
Right.
They're not getting the experience through either doing the work or being mentored or being trained. And that's the scary part, because eventually that will come to a head where you're starting, I think, to see it now with people posting online, doing the social media thing and saying, there's a hole coming, there's this big gap in the road, speed. I'm driving the bus and they, there's a hole in the road. You're starting to see that show up. Like there's nobody that, CFOs, I think now have become the guys that are in that social media market where everybody's saying, 75% of all CFOs at public companies are all over a certain age and there's no one behind them. Right. No one knows how to do their job. So there's a gap. And you're saying, I'm tired of listening to this. Because it goes from industry to industry, title to title. If you don't have somebody to take over, then get somebody to take over. Like you're making a big mess on social media. I don't care about social media. If my company needs somebody, I got to put somebody in place or I got to train someone. So, get the people the experience. Stop saying there isn't any and there's no solution.
Yeah, that, I'm glad you brought up that point. And that might be a future podcast. Maybe, when we get Kelly back on, we talk about that. Because I don't think we're here to bash or say somebody that doesn't have the experience, you shouldn't hire them. It's just alignment with the outcomes you're trying to get versus what you're expecting. Because ultimately, I agree with you, we are going to run into a big gap for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is because, like you said, a lot of us are getting more gray hair and we're starting to think about maybe not working as much anymore. And there's going to be this huge void because there's also other generations that are coming up that, due to whether it's economic situations, environmental situations, we'll just leave it at that. We won't get back into the pandemic stuff. Or just the fact that there's a dwindling population of future generations coming in, there's going to be this gap that's going to exist. And you are going to have to hire people that maybe aren't as experienced. What was the joke all the time? You want to hire the college kid that has 20 years of experience and pay them at the college kid rate. I've heard that multiple times. I've even heard companies pretty much say that, we want somebody with 10 years of experience, but we're going to pay you like you just graduated from school.
Yeah.
Well, which is it? If you want the person who graduated from school, like you said, you got to train them up. You got to provide them with coaching. You got to give them tools so that they can actually gain the knowledge that us more gray-haired more hair loss guys have gone through and experienced. And if you don't do that, then it's nobody's fault but your own or your industry's or, you know, the country as a whole, if you want to expand it that far, that we haven't done our job to get that next layer trained up. Because there's a few unicorns out there that are just super, super smart. They're going to pick up on stuff much quicker. Mm-hmm. And then there's the vast majority of people that really need to gain that knowledge or that experience. So a little bit of a tangent here, but yeah, it is related to, if you just hire somebody with no experience, pay them on the cheap, and then expect them to do a job that requires 30 years of experience, don't be surprised if you don't get the results you want. Rich, this has been a good conversation. I don't think we need to keep it any further because I think we've come up with the subject for, if not next week, the week following. Yeah. If they need to get a hold of us because they need somebody with experience and they're willing to make that investment, who do they contact? Who do they call? Since we're using movie references, who do you call?
Who do you call? You can definitely give me give me an email. It's the easiest way. Or it's rich@xcxo.net.
And you can get a hold of me at dan@xcxo.net. And either one of us would be happy to help you. We are now getting to the latter part of the year. It's hard to believe that we're talking like this, but yeah. I know there's a lot of businesses that are starting to think about strategic planning, starting to think about 2027 already, sneaking up on us. And many of you are probably thinking about, well, who's going to help me get to that next level or who's going to help me solve these issues that I'm currently having in my business? We'd be happy to talk to you about that. So please reach out to either one of us. And until next week, Rich, we will see you later.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Books and the Biz. If today's conversation sparked new ideas for your company, the team at XCXO can help you turn those ideas into action. XCXO brings together seasoned executives, fractional CEOs, COOs, CFOs, and CXOs, who step into your business with the experience, strategy, and leadership to drive real results. Whether you're trying to scale, strengthen operations, improve profitability, or prepare for transition, our experts help you move faster and lead with confidence. To learn more or start a conversation, visit xcxo.net. That's xcxo.net, your shortcut to stronger leadership and a better-run business. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Books and the Biz.